there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And Jeff, here we are. It's the middle of spring. Allergies are starting to act up. My voice sounds weird. I've got a lot of drainage, all that fun stuff.
You heard it here first, folks. Jay Logsdon's weird.
I'm a weird guy. Jeff, first time listeners, long time listeners, they clocked that within like 10 seconds of listening. They're like, this guy's fucking weird. What kind of weirdos do a podcast about Christmas horror movies?
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
These two fucking weirdos, that's who.
Even more weird, they're going to do an Easter movie.
Kind of.
Oh, it's Easter, Jay. There's a rabbit.
This is very weakly Easter. there are both stronger Easter movies that are flat out Easter caskets. I think there's like Easter Bunny Massacre. But there's also Rotten Tail, not to be confused with this movie, that at least has like the evil / anti-hero mutant rabbit shove shit made chocolate eggs down like a bad guy's throat. So that's at least mildly more Easter than this movie.
Well, not to spoil anything that's going to happen in this masterpiece, Jay, but I'm just wondering how we're going to make our Easter villain tier list with such a strong contender to start out with.
It's going to be tough.
A literal demon with unlimited power, theoretically.
Well, Jeff, let's hide the eggs for 2004's Peter Rottentail.
Yet another horrible, horrible movie to drag its way out of Mike Lombardo's neck of the woods.
Released June 29th, 2004. Other than having a killer rabbit, I don't know that this movie's necessarily Easter-y. Jeff, do we want to do it real fast? Do we want to tell the story of how we picked this movie?
Yeah, sure. I think that'll help set the scene for everybody.
Did a quick Google search for Easter horror movies and then had to go through and determine which ones were easy to watch.
Yes.
Had to do a quick search through that. So that eliminated about a third of them. And then I said, let's do Rotten Tail. That one's really funny. I watched it last year. And you said, no, let's do Peter Rotten Tail.
I saw that Peter Rotten Tail, when I was looking up these movies, when you sent me the pictures of the like posters, I saw that Peter Rotten Tail was made for less than $5,000. And I'm like, that's the one.
That's the one. written and directed by John Polonia, who also directed Feeders 2, Sleigh Bells.
Oh.
And Jeff, I know you have some Feeders experience.
Oh, yes. And also with the movie.
co-written by John Oak Dalton, who has written a couple Amityvilles, a couple shark movies, including Amityville Island, which appears to be both an Amityville movie and a shark movie.
Good. I'm glad.
co-directed by Mark Polonia, who also directed Yule Log, not the Adult Swim one. Sister Krampus, a movie that I have on good authority. I've not watched it yet. Repeats itself halfway through the middle of the movie. It plays the opening scene again.
Yes.
And Hell on a Shelf, as well as Feeders 2. As well as Shark, Dinosaur, Amityville movies. Most importantly, Amityville in Space, which was a big hit a couple of years ago. Bryce Kennedy plays Lenny Neely. Dave Fife plays James Neely. And we will see again in Hell on a Shelf. Oh, so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Our writer-director, John Polonia, plays the titular Peter Rottentail and also plays Tejeda or whatever. The voodoo priest.
Yes. Yaman.
Brian Barry as Peter Krigstein, who is part Peter Rottentail. Kristen Wiltsey plays Abby, and I thought it was interesting, plays Bunny in Razor Teeth. So I just thought it was funny that she plays a character in a movie about a killer bunny, and she also plays a character named Bunny.
Interesting.
Just a dumb joke.
God.
Steve Torpy is Scott. I don't know who Scott is. Half these characters aren't given names, but they're given names in the credits.
Yeah.
Todd Carpenter plays Roscoe and is Santa in Feeders 2 and Feeders 3. So maybe Feeders 3 is also a Christmas movie. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I don't know, Jay. I was looking over the more than 40 films they've made. And the three that stood out to me that I really wanted to see were Cocaine Shark, Sharkula, and Jurassic Exorcist.
Kevin Van Zandt is Bill Mooney. Tony Spagnoli is Todd. Alan Cavum is Kevin. Melissa Dodd is Robin D'Amato. Our co-director is Angry Father. Anthony Polonia, I wonder if there's any relation, plays Little Jimmy. And we will see again as Son in Feeders 2. And Josh Nagy plays Kid at Party. Steve Hensley plays Cameraman.
Good, good, good.
Mark Davis as Claire. And is Bernice Parker in Feeders 2. Oh, Maria Davis. Sorry, not Mark Davis. My bad. Sorry, Maria. filmed in Morgantown, West Virginia is what I had.
Morgantown, West Virginia, eh?
Am I wrong?
I was going to say, I saw it was mostly filmed locally in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania.
Oh, all right.
But, I mean, it could be.
Could be both. Could be neither. Say,
they might have done some of both. I did see, I wasn't able to find of what, but John Polonia passed away in 2008.
Okay. So now there's only one Polonia. Yeah,
so Mark is the one that is continuing to make the movies. I believe John is the one who's in the rabbit suit in this.
Okay. And is Tejada.
Yeah.
Mon. Where to watch? Tubi. Watch it on Tubi.
Just watch it on Tubi. Oh, well, you know what? It's hard to say because this is one of those movies where there's not really a consensus. Some people are like, this sucks. I hate it. Some people are like, it sucks, but it's like really funny to watch with a group of people.
we'll get to it. personal experience, Jeff. None.
Oh, I had a personal experience, a life-changing experience when I watched this film, Jay.
This movie made me reevaluate my opinions on other movies we've done for the podcast.
I also, the rabbit costume was apparently like notoriously bad to work in.
I can believe
they
that.
That's why some of the action looks so choppy is because they had to take such, they could basically film for like 10 seconds and then they had to stop. So it was, and of course, you know, it's not great to try to move. Anybody who's been in one of those like mascot style costumes knows it gets uncomfortable quick.
Yep.
So I'm sure it wasn't that great to be in.
We start with word art style credits over some music and loud boinging sounds.
Oh, I love the boinging.
A bunch of kids are booing a bad magician named Peter Krigstein at a birthday party. The kids are just off screen. You don't see them. You just hear them booing.
Boo.
It's that real meme, like all laughing with all my friends. They're just out of view of the camera. And one of them throws some cake at him. Next, we see him leaving the party talking about how he just has to make it one rung up the ladder. When a character with long black hair, a trench coat, a wide-brimmed hat, and a Jamaican accent with an echoey sound effect offers him a shooter of fireball with the label removed.
Jama. Which, by the way, that was better than the Jamaican accent in the movie.
That's Tejada, our voodoo priest.
You know what? I enjoyed the voodoo priest. I'm a sucker for a voodoo priest, and especially when he hands you an unlabeled bottle of liquid.
Sorry, not a shooter fireball with the label removed. I mean, the secrets to black magic.
Yes, of course.
Peter Krigstein accepts it, and with a laugh, the strange magician, voodoo priest, disappears. It's about as great as you're imagining, I'm sure. At a different party, two boys and their dad look on unimpressed as the magician continues to struggle. This time he's struggling to pull a rabbit out of his sleeve, and we get fart sound effects from the rabbit named Retread.
Yeah, because Retread is shitting under the table. He's not actually up his sleeve.
Yep. The magician drinks the potion and tells everyone he will turn into Peter Rottentail, the evil spawn of man and rabbit. And the kids tell him he stinks and to make himself disappear. The dad kicks Peter Krigstein out of his house, and then the magician hears the voice of Tejada, the voodoo priest, telling him he will do his bidding. And Peter picks up a random meat cleaver that he just found on the ground.
It materialized there, Jay, from the curse.
And walks towards the kid who had walked outside. We get like a negative film effect over Peter, like as he makes like an evil face.
Well, and you missed the most important part of that, Jay. Tejada tells him his soul is his forever.
Yep. At a different house, Peter hears a news report about the police looking for him, and he pulls out a shotgun, places it under his chin, and says, "Now for my final trick, gunshot sound effect title card."
And he also says, "Can't mess this one up."
Fuck.
That's what Jay was probably wanting to do when he got into the movie.
Yeah, we get a weird, poorly lit, grainy, blue and foggy scene of Peter chasing the kid with a meat cleaver.
Yeah.
And right when Peter's about to strike him, the kid, now a grown-up man, wakes up with a note that is 13 years later at the bottom of the screen.
I believe that grainy blue film scene you were talking about, Jay, was a surrealist take on the effects of suicide.
It was the middle of the day when that scene took place, but in this child who we will learn is named James, in his in his dream is suddenly like blue and lit from behind. It has like Spirit Halloween fog coming out of the ground. He turns on the TV and we get a news report about how the police are trying to stop the yearly desecration of Peter's grave. I don't think that it's that big a deal to stop one shitty magician who assaulted a child and killed himself's like grave from being desecrated, but apparently that's a big enough deal that the police have to get involved.
Well, you know, Jay, it's a small town. They don't have a lot to do.
We then get an interview with a local disaffected youth. I don't know. I'm sure it's one of the guys who's given a random name.
Yeah.
His name is never said. So I refer to him as disaffected youth, and I refer to his friend as Guy in Green Jacket.
Yeah, I love Guy in Green Jacket.
The local disaffected youth gets cut when he says douchebag on TV, and he and his friend talk about going to his dead uncle's house to steal his weed.
Yes.
His dead uncle who loved Jamaica and all that stuff.
Yeah. The Chronic, Jay? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, my God. Blunts.
The Chronic. Whoa, dude.
Oh, my God.
This is the kind of movie that I love. It causes Jay Logsdon psychic pain.
At the dead uncle's house, they find the weed stash. Grow lights, dude.
Dude, it's going to be some primo shit.
And Tejada, the voodoo priest, appears briefly in a ghostly like visage.
Ah.
And then they think they're just getting a contact high from not smoking.
The walls.
From
Jay.
The walls.
We're getting the wall. That's how strong this shit is.
They look through the basement. Local disaffected youth finds a book that feels like it is made out of human flesh. And they have a long discussion about how, but you can't write a girl's phone number on your hand, like, because it'll just smudge. And so then they're like, oh, maybe this is made out of hand flesh.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe there's a bunch of girls' phone numbers in it.
Think any of them live around here?
Oh, my God. They read from it, which includes an incantation calling for a cursed soul to do their bidding. And we see Peter Kriegstein's grave open like a hole that glows and lightning flashes. And out of the grave crawls a giant humanoid rabbit wearing a magician's outfit. Peter Rottentail. And it hops into the night with an annoying boing, boinging boing, sound boing, effect
boing.
That we will hear again and again.
The way that he rises up reminded me of the way they used to shoot the Power Rangers monsters when they would grow giant.
Oh my God, yes. You are absolutely right. It then appears in Peter Rottentail then appears in the basement in front of the two youths, and they think he is lame, so they try to send him back, but Peter stabs both of them with a carrot and hops off.
Yes.
Boing, boing, boing.
It's my demon slave, bro. I totally conjured him.
Oh, he totally sucks. You should send him back for one with like hooves and bat wings and shit.
Shut up. Where's your demon, bitch?
Cut to James Neely getting a call from his cousin Lenny. And they talk about hanging out. That's what happens.
Yeah.
I had this moment where I'm like, I assume that is the guy from earlier, but I couldn't quite tell. Because like you get a brief glimpse of him waking up in bed. Also needs to be said, he woke up in bed wearing like a white button-down shirt.
Yep.
He was sleeping wearing a white button-down shirt. That just needs to be said.
Don't we all, Jay? I love the way that James answers the phone. James Neely, professional college student. And then the other guy's like, professional student, you mean professional masturbator. Sure.
And then there was like a line about like his hand being tired. Cut to a wino. We know this because he sings a song that goes, I'm a wino I am. I drink the Seagrams and then I go again. He starts digging through some trash and gets approached by Peter Rottentail, who I guess attempts to do a bunch of lame magic tricks.
Yes.
And then the wino asks for a drink. Also recognizes him as Peter Krigstein, even though he's clearly a demonic rabbit. Yep. I don't know how he recognized him.
Well, he's a Vietnam veteran, Jay, and he's so drunk he can see through to the true soul underneath the rabbit.
Peter takes out a turkey baster and sprays it into the mouth of the wino, and the wino spits it out. And he's like, what is this? And Peter goes, witch's piss. And then there's like an acid sound effect, and the wino dies.
Yes. And I also want to note, he does have a good line. He's digging through garbage cans by the street, and then he sees garbage cans next to a nicer house, and he's like, let's see what's on the 3-star menu.
Yep. I also thought there was going to be something with the fact that he pulls out a bunch of like lettuce and the fact that it's a giant rabbit.
Yeah.
Doesn't really amount to anything, but then also doesn't realize that Peter Rottentail is a giant rabbit because he recognizes him as Peter Krigstein. Mm-hmm. Very confusing.
It is very confusing, yes. Although, canonically, Jay, this giant rabbit has done something that none of our other villains have done, I think.
Make someone drink piss?
Well, yes, that.
Okay.
But no, I was talking about something that happens later.
Yeah. James arrives at Lenny's place, and they make a plan to pay someone to clean out their dead grandma's house.
Yeah.
And then they just get drunk.
My dad is paying me $100, so we give some idiot high schooler $25 to do the job, and then we pocket the other $75. And this is when they arrive at the house, Jay. We're getting to that next. There's a one sentence review of the entire movie from the woman across the street. We'll get to it.
We have another flashback as James wakes up, and that confirms from earlier that James was the one having the dream, and they talk about the party from when they were kids. They arrive at grandma's house, and James gets a weird vibe. It's like he literally like reaches his hands towards the doorknob, and then we get like the negative flash like on the screen. And a girl watches from across the street, and Jeff is talking on her phone.
Talking on her phone.
To her friend.
Two men have just arrived at the house, and they're definitely gay.
They check out the back garage, but unbeknownst to them, Peter Rottentail is watching them from inside. Also, it says, oh, this is where Grandpa's caddy is. This is where I got laid the first time.
Yeah.
We later see the inside of the garage. There's no Cadillac inside.
No. There's not. And even his friend slash cousin slash whatever cousin, he's supposed to be is dubious on the fact that he actually ever had sex.
They fall. And then it's also confirmed that every woman thinks he's gay.
Yes. Not again.
They fall asleep and James has the dream again. But outside, Peter plays a Jack in the Box and James goes to check it out and actually gets startled by the clown as it pops out of the Jack in the Box and then sees Peter watching him from like behind a bush. But when he goes looking for him, Peter isn't there.
I also want to go back real quick to when he says he has the weird vibe. And the other guy's like, no shit, your grandma died here, bro.
Yes, that is exactly what is said. The girl across the street watches TV and it's just laughing. Like it's just two people laughing. Ha 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 ha.
Only in the movies.
And then she goes, yeah, only in the movie. It was just laughing for like 30 seconds straight.
It's referenced later. Apparently she's been watching romance movies because she's so desperate for a romance. Jay.
She turns off the TV and goes into her room to go to bed as Peter watches from outside saying, nice carrot patch.
Yeah,
when she takes her hoodie off. And sneaks into, she takes her hoodie off and she's just wearing like a gray like tank top.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. I thought she was like going to take her top off or something. Nope. Just literally takes off her blue sweatshirt, her blue hoodie, where is wearing a gray tank top underneath, takes like the scrunchie out of her hair and goes and lays down.
Yep.
That's literally the entire, and he goes, nice carrot patch.
Yes. Anyone who's a husband listening to this show, remember to comment on your wife's carrot patch from time to time. They appreciate it.
Peter sneaks inside and watches her sleep for a second and says, I'd like to show her my magic wand, and then leaves.
Yes, he'd like to, Jay, but there's more. There's work to be done. Okay, he's a serious rabbit.
Peter approaches a guy on the phone with his nagging wife. Am I right, fellas?
Yeah.
And they argue, and then he's like, I got my annoying wife on the phone, and I got a stripper in the club. Mm-hmm. And then Peter's like, what a coincidence. I've got an annoying stripper on the phone, and your wife's stripping for me, or something like that. Yeah. Which I thought was actually kind of a funny line.
Yes.
One of the few chuckles in the movie.
I take my wife everywhere, Jay, but she always finds her way home.
Peter then chops him in the head with a machete.
Yes.
And we get blood splatter on like a light, and it's because it's like a park structure, like a little park shelter.
Indeed.
The next day, James and Lenny call Bill Mooney, who agrees to come fix the hot water heater for Weed.
Yes. Well, he. After a series of insults traded back and forth, I think he has the best one. He says, we've got a leaking pipe. And he says, well, why don't you back your ass up to it and stop it?
James reads in the paper that the guy who got killed at the phone the night before was one of the kids that attended his party.
Oh, boy. And then his cousin says, yeah, he was a douchebag. I'm not surprised he's dead.
We get a fixing stuff up montage from James and Lenny as the girl from across the street watches on and assumes they are gay.
They're definitely gay, yes.
Lenny leaves to go to the strip club and talks with the girl across the street and then realizes that she thinks that she's gay. She thinks I'm gay? Not another one. James sits at home trying to remember that night, but he can't. Trying to remember the day of the party, and then gets a phone call from Peter, who threatens him and says, "We're gonna have a party, Jimmy."
Oh boy!
Bill arrives, goes downstairs to fix the hot water heater, and James leaves. And Peter gets into the house, honks his bike horn at Bill, who goes, "Knock it off! I've got a splitting headache." And Peter goes, "Do ya? Well, how about now?" And then pulls out a meat cleaver and buries it in Bill's skull. Peter goes back to the girl across the street's house, and we learn her name is Abby. And then we get literally the exact same scene of her going into her bedroom, taking off her blue hoodie, removing the scrunchie from her hair. She's wearing the gray tank top underneath because they literally just spliced the footage back together.
They did.
And she goes and lays down.
And then one of the greatest events in cinematic history occurs, Jay.
Peter knocks on her door and gives her a rose, and she says, I guess beggars can't be choosers, and takes him into her bedroom.
Yes. So canonically, Peter Rottentail fucks.
Yeah, Peter Rottentail fucks. Lenny leaves the strip club and sees Peter hitchhiking, and James gets back home and goes to find Mooney, but sees Peter instead and runs upstairs and runs into Lenny. And they go back down to the basement to find Mooney, but still can't find him. So they go to the cemetery to find Peter's grave empty and the two youths from earlier dead. It has been multiple days since the two youths were murdered.
Yes.
And no one has been to the cemetery to find these two bodies.
Well, you know, they were so busy keeping people from vandalizing it, Jay, that they never actually checked the site.
What a movie.
What a movie indeed.
Back at the house, Lenny gets a call from Peter, who blames James, the birthday boy, for his death and that he will punish them. The lights cut out at the house, and James and Lenny split up. James checks the fuses, which are just fine, as Lenny goes into the back garage and Peter shoots a carrot through his skull.
Ah.
James goes back upstairs and finds a piece of cake with a candle in it. We have another flashback, and we see like the exact same thing, but we see the hat and the meat cleaver appear in front of Peter, and he puts it on. And then James says, "Now I remember," and blows out the candle. James goes back down to the basement.
And this is when one of the greatest fights in cinematic history occurs.
And he and Peter have a sped up fight over like a classical music score that I would describe as like springy.
Yes.
It includes slapping each other, rabbit kicks, noogies, eye poking, and a punch in the dick, to which Peter goes, "Oh, my turnips!" James is able to remove Peter's hat and tells him that the hat was the source of the evil and that Peter's free now and he can turn back into Peter Krigstein.
Peter Krigstein sucks.
And Peter doesn't want to go back, so James stomps the hat, which causes Peter to fade away. cut to black, we get a heart monitor sound effect, and on the screen it says 9 months later on the screen. Abby is in labor, and a doctor is telling her to push, and then groans with a ugh, and when he sees the baby, and Abby says, I hope he's not too ugly, and we see Son of Rotten Tail. And he goes,
that for an entrance?
How's that for an entrance, assholes? Mm-hmm. Credits roll.
Yes.
Post-credit scene. Lenny asks us, why are you still watching?
Yes.
Which is an excellent question. Why was I watching in the first place, Lenny?
Now, Jay, I wasn't entirely honest with you. I have seen another Polonia film.
Which one?
I have watched Noah's Shark from 2021.
Boy.
And it's just as good as you would think.
These guys love their shark movies.
Oh, they love werewolves as well.
And dinosaurs.
And aliens.
And Amityvilles.
Yeah, oh yeah, gotta love those. And those feeders.
So, Jeff, where do you want to start us off at?
Where should we start?
Unless you have any other comments before we...
We can get into our categories. You know what? Let's start off with our quotes this time, since we've already said so many of them.
All right. Easter hymns. Favorite quotes.
Nice carrot patch, obviously. That one sticks out.
Oh, my turnips.
Yes. Oh, my turnips. find a guy who can work for weed. No seeds and stems this time. Of course.
All right. I thought you wanted to know about magic. Real magic. Black magic. This is to Jada. Peter. What's in that thing? To Jada. The sweat from a voodoo master's brow, a gypsy's hot tears, the blood of an unknown sacrifice, and more.
And more.
What? No slice of lemon with that? Peter. To Jada. It will allow you to know the unknowable, see the unseeable. Peter. Well, I did half a bottle of Jack in high school and a couple beer bongs. How bad could it be? Indeed it will. To Jada. and we get like a demonic laugh.
Oh, Jay, there's so many amazing lines, so much memorable dialogue from this movie. I pulled that one you had mentioned earlier where he's like, I got a pissed off wife on the phone and a lap dance waiting for me across the street. Oh, really? Because I have a pissed off stripper on the phone and your wife's giving me a lap dance after this. Nobody talks about my old lady that way, except for me.
And then gets a machete to the head.
Yes.
All right, I got the two kids at the party from the beginning. I'm going to say one is Lenny and one is James. I don't know which one's which. One of the kids says, this guy blows ass. And then the dad standing behind him gives him like a knowing nod. The other kid at the party goes, hey, mister, your rabbit's under the table taking a dump.
Oh, my God. Retread, you're the only one who understands. That's what he's petting him before he's about to use the shotgun on himself.
When James wakes up from the nightmare initially, and we're unsure if that's really James, and he turns on the TV, we cut to the reporter who goes, you could have purchased a toy that will kill your children, but first, and then talks about the police protecting
the
Peter Kriegstein's grave.
Time to try the 3-star menu. I mentioned that one earlier when he's getting the better trash cans.
Dude, your pops is going to see that shit on TV. Guy in green jacket. Local disaffected youth. He only watches wrestling and porno.
Exactly.
Way to go. Way to go, Dad.
He probably died with a huge stash. Blunt? The chronic, bro. Dude.
Dude, look out. Demon with a carrot. This guy in green jacket.
I think I'm getting a contact high from the walls.
The name's Peter Rottentail, dickhead.
That is a good one.
And then this is my last one. This is America. Porn should be free, damn it. Lenny.
Yes, yes. For my final one, I had definitely gay. While she's on the phone observing them going into their grandma's house.
As they're doing like a fixing stuff up montage.
Yes.
Gotta put one foot in front of the other. The Polonia brothers cannot afford to get that song.
No. This is a micro budget feature, Jay. We don't have money for music. We're going to use boring sound effects instead.
All right, Jeff. Well, do you want to paint the eggs, set costume, etc.?
Yes, let's paint them.
All right. I felt very 2000s.
Yep.
There is like a street view scene at one point, and like you're just watching like a couple cars driving. And I just like, I looked at that and I was just like, it felt like the 2000s era suburbs. I was just sitting there. I was like, man, that's like a flashback just to see that.
Yeah. No, it reminded me of my childhood, definitely.
The Rotten Tail costume was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's compared to some of the horrible costumes we've seen in some of these movies, this one was not too bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like I've seen worse, and I certainly think we will see worse.
Oh, yeah.
Not just from the Polonia brothers, but also in general.
In general, yeah.
So Guy in Green Jacket is wearing the same green jacket that my friend PJ wore in high school.
It was his jacket, Jay.
I took a picture and I sent it to him and I was like, dude, you owned this jacket. And he was like, I sure did.
I thought they did a good job showing every local news cameraman ever when he's interviewing the two local youths. Because when it cuts to him, he's wearing one of those like puff jackets that they always wear. And he has the khaki pants with the, for some reason, a million tools hanging off of all the like belt loops, even though he's a cameraman. So what's he doing with all this?
Well, he's just shaking his head in disbelief.
Yes.
Anything else?
I want to say I thought they did what, obviously they were just shooting in people's houses or whatever. But I thought they did a good job of creating like a set atmosphere, especially like in the grandma's house set. I thought they had it decorated pretty well.
Yeah. And the houses felt lived in.
Yeah.
I don't have anything else for that. So if you're ready to move on, I'm ready.
Let's go.
All right, let's do Easter Spirit. How Eastery is the movie? How Eastery are the kills?
Eastery, as far as the themes of the movie and the plot, not at all.
I mean, it's a killer rabbit. That's why it popped up.
But the kills, I would say, pretty Eastery because he does kill at least three people with a carrot.
That's exactly what I have. Maybe the carrot kills are kind of Eastery because it's a rabbit killing people with a carrot.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, let's do rotten egg, fresh egg. One thing you want to fix and one thing you want to praise.
Well, you know what, Jay? I will say that despite this being near a perfect masterpiece, I did find a couple things to improve in it.
Oh, hard to believe.
But I would say one of the things that could have benefited this movie the most would be to pay an actual sound designer to give you some sound effects that aren't like stock off the shelf.
Boing, boing, boing.
Noises. I think that really takes you out of it, especially the rotten tail boings that James has referenced a few times. They really feel weird. And like the weird stock fart sounds and stuff they did at the beginning.
We get multiple of the same weird stock fart sound.
Yeah. I think investing a little bit more in maybe the sound design and stuff probably would have paid some dividends for this.
Well, Jeff, the thing I would fix, I mean, how can I pick just one? The acting is bad. The gore effects are mostly bad, which is wild because for most of these movies, when we can't pick anything, we at least pick the gore effects, but they're also not great. The jokes are mostly unfunny. The sound mixing is bad. It's all pretty bad.
Well, you know, for a movie made for under $5,000, I wasn't expecting a whole lot. But yeah, I think they could have done a better job with the gore if they wanted to.
Fresh egg prices. Fresh eggs. What's your praise?
My fresh egg was that Peter Rottentail is actually a movie about a killer rabbit going around killing people. Because so many of these damn movies we get where that's a premise that's promised to you and never actually happens. I'm looking at you, the Americans.
Trapped Alive.
Yes, Trapped Alive, especially. The American Scream, all those. It's just like, you give us something, at least they delivered on Peter Rottentail is a killer rabbit who goes around and kills people.
Yours is way more positive than mine is. Mine is that these guys are able to keep making movies. SRS, whatever the name of their production company is.
Sub Rosa Studios.
Puts out loads of crap every year, and there's no signs of them stopping. They're still doing shit this year, and well, I admire the endeavor. Yes. Well, Ronald Bonk is also still involved.
Yes.
So, I mean, they put crap out every year, and they keep doing it, and for that, they deserve a tip of the hat. They don't care how much shit they get. They don't care how much people make fun of their crap. Exactly. They keep putting crap out, and I tip my hat.
Indeed.
Well, Jeff, let's round into our final rating here. Is this I don't know. I'm trying to think of Easter things. Is this a fart in church? Wait, is that a good thing or a bad? I would laugh at a fart in church.
Well, you know what? We could think of like different quality levels of treats you would want to and not want to receive in your Easter basket. Could say like bad is Easter grass.
So my bad, my you'll be sorry was crucify it.
I mean, I guess.
I didn't have one. I mean, I'm going to give the whole thing away. I put crucify it. This is a bad movie. This is a you'll be sorry. you can think of whatever you want to name your thing while I'm saying this.
Okay.
This movie was awful, unfunny, and overall pretty boring. Honestly, the best thing I can say about it is it made me think I was too hard on Bikini Bloodbath Christmas.
You were too hard on that. So was Matt Dupay.
I will leave you with a quote from Matt Dupay while discussing a different Polonia Brothers film. I believe it was either Yule Log or Sister Krampus. And Matt Dupay said, and I quote, "Oh, Jesus. Oh, my fucking God. The Polonia Brothers. They are truly fucking horrible."
Little harsh.
I think at the end of the day, my biggest takeaway is that we've seen lots of low-budget movies for this podcast. Movies that have been made really well. Movies that are low-budget that are really cheesy but fun. But this is just a low-budget movie that is generally bad and boring. Jeff, I don't know what you want to call your thing.
I don't know.
Cadbury egg?
I don't know. That seems a little too good. Mine is, it's a ho-ho-ho hilarious, and it's, you know those like little eggs that are like Whopper eggs almost?
Like Robin eggs maybe?
Yeah, like a little more crunchy. You know those that you're not super stoked about seeing, but you're not going to like throw them away. You'll probably eat them. I mean, definitely your mileage is going to vary. Just like I said with Bikini Bloodbath Christmas, if you find the humor in the movie funny, you'll probably like it. If you don't, you're not going to like it, because that's basically all this has going for it.
I graded Bikini Bloodbath Christmas too hard, because this movie is so much worse than Bikini Bloodbath Christmas. That being said, it does not deserve to be as low, like in my weird mind rankings of these movies. Like Bikini Bloodbath Christmas is a step above this. This deserves to be, like you said, with a Trapped Alive.
Yeah.
With a American Scream.
I put it at the top of our low category just because it does deliver on what it promises. You do get a killer rabbit named Peter Rottentail.
Which is, yeah, better than you can say about Trapped Alive.
Yes, it's like you don't get what you were promised in a lot of these movies, so that's something it has going for it. Like I said, if you think it's funny, there's some funny stuff in here, especially the interactions between Peter Rottentail and some of the like side characters can be pretty funny. I thought the Vietnam veteran guy was kind of funny.
This was a kind of movie where maybe if I wasn't doing this for the podcast, I'd maybe like take an edible and watch it, and maybe I would have fun watch it with a group of friends or something.
That's what I was going to say. I think we probably would have had a better time with this movie if we'd actually watched it together instead of separately. So, you know, it's one of those. So don't buy this, watch it on Tubi. But if you do buy this for some reason, it's going to be enjoyed with a substance or with some friends.
Or both.
Or yeah, both, I guess.
But Jeff, did you stop to think that maybe these chocolate eggs are actually rabbit turds?
Oh no.
And we're doing some reviews.
Don't tell me there's reviews.
So I've got four. And I guess your and my reviews are gonna be different, because my reviews are gonna be positive reviews of this movie, and your reviews are gonna probably be a little more negative reviews of this movie.
I pulled a range of things for this one.
9 out of 10. Great movie for cheese fans, and it's Polonia. I don't know that that's a positive thing.
Oh, it is, Jay.
Horror movie and B-movie fans everywhere know that good films often are the cheesiest ones, which the director takes light of the movie and makes it an enjoyable experience for its viewers. This movie fits right in with great characters we all know and love. We watch them for kicks with our friends or suffer through them on MST3K. There's no need for Mike and the bots here, though, so all you'll have... all you'll be as you'll be having enough fun with the movie by yourself. Disagree. I did not have a fun time by myself. Or bonuses if you bring your friends. Well, maybe it would be more fun if you had friends. Just beware. It takes a B-movie fan to truly enjoy this. I would argue you and I are B-movie fans.
Yeah.
And I did not enjoy this. Bring your Hollywood blockbuster CGI-loving friends along, and they'll lynch you. If you've seen any other Polonia films, you'll know why. He cares more about actual filmmaking than about cramming special effects down your throat. The end result is a fun-filled, cheese-ridden B-movie that will stick with you for a long, long time. He cares more about filmmaking than he does special effects.
That's right.
I mean, I certainly, yes, does not care much for special effects. I will agree with you there.
That was actually my review.
I can see it.
All right, you want to alternate or you want to do yours first?
You can keep going. Or you can do one.
Well, I'll do my most positive review then. 5 stars, Easter Horror Gold. Move over, Leprechaun. Peter Rottentail is the holiday horror icon we deserve.
How do you feel about that?
I'm not a fan. This movie has everything. A demonic bunny, outrageous kills with carrots, and the glorious cheese only the Polonia brothers can deliver. Yes, it's low budget. That's the point. Watch this with friends, a six-pack, and a sense of humor, and you'll be quoting it for weeks. A true B-movie masterpiece. And just so you know, you have a nice carrot patch. I don't know about Move Over Leprechaun. That seems a little extreme.
A Rotten Tail, Rotton.
Oh, clever.
7 out of 10. Visually stunning, groundbreaking, a piece of work that far outstretches its original goals. Best climactic twist in thriller history. The parting shots are chilling and leave a lingering horror in the viewer's mind. Sorry, these words do not describe this film. Humor, you say? I could hear myself laughing while watching this, but it was a sad, desperate sound rather like that of someone who just overdosed on antidepressants and realized their numbing fate. If this movie ever shows anywhere near you, get out there, run like the wind, because Peter Rottentail is there behind you bouncing with a tragic costumed vegan twit and will bore you to death. All in all, I give this film a 7 out of 10. I don't know if that's a positive or negative review.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep moving right on down the list, Jay, because I pulled 6 reviews of this movie showing the entire spectrum.
All right.
This is the 4-star review. So bad, it's beautiful. You don't watch this movie for technical brilliance. You watch it for the absurd rabbit costume, the awkward line delivery, and a villain named Peter Kriegstein who turned himself into Rotten Tail. The Polonia brothers knew what they were doing. Camp, schlock, and B-movie cheese for the underground horror crowd. The Easter setting is hilariously underutilized to the point it doesn't even matter.
It's not there at all!
But who cares? Rotten Tail has charisma. He has the riz, Jay.
He's a riz king. I mean, he did get her, what's her, Abby pregnant.
Yes, he's the Rizzler.
Funny film, good acting, 10 out of 10. Nice. One of the best independent films I've seen in some time. Jeff, let that sink in for a minute.
I'm letting it sink in.
From the legendary Polonia Brothers, a very tongue-in-cheek production which doesn't skimp on cheese, but which nonetheless contains some impressive effects. Blah, 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 blah. Most noteworthy are Lenny's death scene and the final battle between James and Peter Rottentail, which is once again sped up, and it's just like noogies or slapping or eye poking.
Don't forget the headlocks.
Funny stuff. The DVD features proved to be quite informative, especially the director's commentary and the interviews with the cast, and provide an insight into the world of low-budget filmmaking. The two lead characters complement each other nicely and have a good chemistry. I'm pretty sure they were just reading lines at each other. Watch this with some friends for an experience which you can only be described as unique, which I would agree with that.
Yes, it is a unique experience. And you know what? I think he's right, and this is one of the best independent films we've ever seen. I think, honestly, that Mike should probably give up the director's chair on Dead Format to Mike Polonia.
All right, better give up, let him know. All right, well, I think you've got a couple more. I've got one left, so you can read a couple of yours.
Oh, okay. 3 stars. a wobbly but lovable cult oddity. This one is for collectors of cinematic oddities. It's got pacing issues, amateur acting, and a killer rabbit suit that looks like it was made in someone's garage. But that's the charm. There are flashes of creativity in the editing and practical effects, and the Polonia brothers' passion is evident. If you're a fan of Feeders or early Troma, this is for you.
Hmm. All right. This is my last one. 10 out of 10. Tantalizing.
Yes.
Best movie ever produced. The special effects are top tier. The acting is extremely high quality. Jeff, I'm pretty sure you wrote this. The set and character design is just plain incredible. The plot is brilliantly written and directed. The main antagonist, Peter, is slowly lowered into villainy with exquisite character development, becoming evil due to the abuse he was faced with in his work field. The depiction of a distressing work environment was displayed raw in this movie, forcing watchers to witness the heart-wrenching, depressive state Peter was in, leading him to an untimely death. The scene where he returned to seek revenge had me at the edge of my seat, just waiting to see the fate placed into those miserable people. The plot is expertly driven into chaos from there. The following events are terrifying and nerve-wracking, exactly what I am pursuing when watching a horror movie. I will say no more other than my one final statement. This movie is better than The Godfather.
Yes. How did you find my review?
Jeff Searcy, 10 out of 10. Strangely made this review in 2023. He's watched this before.
Don't give away our secrets. 2-star review. Watched it so you don't have to. Review by Jay Logsdon. Yikes. I went in expecting some low-budget fun, but this is rough, even by Polonia Brothers standards. The acting is barely passable. The script is repetitive, and the villain, while conceptually fun, doesn't get enough screen time. There's definitely an audience for this, and I respect the hustle, but this is not for casual movie viewers or probably serious ones.
Yeah.
1-star review. A bunny-shaped dumpster fire. This movie made me question all my life choices. The plot is nonsensical, the gore looks like ketchup and silly screen, and the killer bunny has less menace than a chocolate peep. If you're into films that feel like a student project from 1998 with a camcorder and zero direction, congrats, you found your holy grail. Everyone else, beware. Would give 0 stars if I could.
Oh boy, there it is.
And now, 1-star review. This movie broke me. Another screen name is VHS Victim.
they were certainly victimized, I'm sure.
I didn't know movies could cause psychic damage until I watched Peter Rottentail. This wasn't so much a horror film as it was a cry for help encoded on mini DV tape. The plot is incoherent. The rabbit costume looks like something a deranged kindergarten class made out of old couch cushions. And the acting feels like everyone learned their lines phonetically 5 minutes before shooting. There's a scene where a character dies by carrot, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to laugh, cry, or claw my eyes out. The sound quality made me feel like I had water in my ears the whole time. Lighting, non-existent. Dialogue written by someone who's never spoken to a human before, I assume. I showed this to my roommate as a joke. We are no longer on speaking terms. This isn't a film. It's an experience I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. If I could give negative stars, I would. This movie needs to be buried and never dug up again.
That might be the best review we've ever had, period.
And now, Jay, I have a 10 out of 10 review by B-movie connoisseur to finish us out.
Oh, boy.
A glorious trashterpiece. Peter Rottentail is the cinematic equivalent of finding a moldy VHS tape in your uncle's basement.
Filled with weed and porn.
Haunting, hilarious, and somehow beautiful. I give it a 10 out of 10, not because it's good by any conventional standard, but because it commits to its madness and low quality with such fearlessness and low-budget gusto that it transcends human standards entirely. The Polonia brothers crafted a world where carrot stabbings are fatal, dialogue is delightfully wooden, and a man in a dollar store rabbit suit becomes a cult icon. The surreal editing choices, the synth-drenched soundtrack, and the barely audible dialogue and bizarrely philosophical bunny monologues make this feel like it was shot on a haunted camcorder from another dimension.
God, I would watch a movie shot on a haunted camcorder from another dimension.
This film isn't so bad it's good. It's so bad it's inspired. It's a rallying cry for DIY horror fans. If the Polonia brothers can make a movie, you can too. Watch this with friends. Watch it alone. Watch it every Easter. Peter Rottentail isn't a movie. It's a movement.
A bowel movement. It doesn't need to be said. It does feel like Rottentail, but like I said, different movie, not to be confused with this one. Rottentail does take a couple things from this movie. There are a couple things where I'm like, oh shit, they do that in Rottentail, which is kind of impressive that a movie that I think is probably better than this one is kind of stole like a handful of plot points from this one.
Surprise, Jay, because I have another 0-star review. Because I couldn't leave us on a positive note.
All right.
As that 10 out of 10 review did seem kind of backbiting, but whatever. This is 0 stars, even though it's a 1-star review.
Give it 0 for good.
The death of cinema captured on tape.
I wouldn't go that far.
The screen name is Suffering in 480p. I have stared into the abyss. It was wearing a rabbit costume and mumbling threats about carrots. Peter Rottentail isn't just bad, it's anti-film. Every frame feels like a dare to do worse. The cinematography looks like it was done by a drunk toddler on a Fisher-Price camera. The script seems to have been written during a fever dream inspired by expired Easter candy. Acting? Imagine local theater, but everyone is allergic to emotion. The monster, a man in a thrift store bunny suit, is somehow both overexposed and underused. Scenes drag on forever with no purpose, and the pacing made me question whether time was still moving. I checked my watch, and it had stopped. Watching this film made me reflect on my life, and not in a good way.
Oh, Jesus.
More like, why did I choose this? What did I do to deserve this? I've seen better storytelling in YouTube comment sections. I've had nightmares with better special effects. I would rather be attacked by a real demonic rabbit than ever sit through this again. This isn't campy fun. It's cinematic punishment. 0 stars. Burn it.
Harsh. Harsh but fair. Well, Jeff, we've only got one person on our egg hunt. It's Peter Rottentail.
I mean, so far, he's the most powerful Easter villain we've seen.
And he fucks.
He does fuck. That's a big point in his favor.
Yeah, so right now, he's top of the list. There's no one else with him.
I mean, yeah. It was almost as big of a reveal when he was successfully fucking in this movie as when they announced that she fucked.
I know, man. I can't... Still can't get over that. Star Wars just passed by the fact that Emperor Palpatine has sex.
Mm-hmm. All the time,
all apparently. The time, yeah.
He had a grandchild.
Impressive. Well, it's time for a little bit of this.
Garbage Day!
Huh?
No!
Oh, boy. He's reaching for something. Is it a carrot to end my suffering? Oh, God, it's a Menards bag. Oh, no, I see something in there. He couldn't have done what I think he's done. He did.
Icy Peeps.
It's Ice Blue Raspberry Peeps.
Rice Krispie Treat Peeps.
Oh, God.
Little Debbie Easter Marshmallow Puffs.
Never seen those before, but okay.
Right, I'd never seen those before. And then I saw this, and I was like, well, I could get 2 for $4 or whatever the deal always is.
Yeah.
Little Debbie Spring Gingerbread Men.
Ah, yes. Spring Gingerbread, my favorite.
I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact that they probably had gingerbread men left over from Christmas.
Your peeps, sir. Ah, these Rice Krispie Peeps smell amazing. These look... These marshmallow puffs look depressing.
The gingerbread men have little spring
sprinkles
on them.
Look at that.
Yeah, these marshmallow puffs look distressing.
Well, I guess let's start with those.
All right.
This mine looks like somebody sat on it at the factory and just wrapped it up anyway.
Yeah, I have the exact. I'm like, did someone step on this?
All right, I'm going in.
Looks like it's chocolate cake, marshmallow, some kind of like fondant topping.
Tastes like a big marshmallow with frosting on top.
Unimpressive.
Pretty much exactly what you would expect.
I was kind of excited for that. I'm a little disappointed.
I'm going in for the gingerbread man.
I had a Little Debbie gingerbread man for the first time this Christmas.
You a fan?
No, it wasn't very good.
This one's good. It's better than the Christmas ones. I like it.
Maybe it's like lighter on the frosting. Maybe that's what makes it different.
Yeah. I've never been that big of a fan of heavy frosting on gingerbread, so I think that does make the difference.
All right, well, let's grab a couple of these peeps.
Oh, you know we're peeping.
Yeah, peeping on Abby as she takes off her blue hoodie.
Oh, man.
To reveal her gray tank top.
Never seen a girl's carrot patch in a tank top before.
Talk about a carrot patch. I was confused because I was like, is he talking about her boobs or is he talking about the fact that I think she's a redhead?
I think he's talking about the fact that she's a redhead.
But, like, it was such a weird line. And I had to tell my wife, and she's like, what does it mean? And I'm like, unclear.
Well, the Rice Krispie peep tastes like a peep.
I don't know how I feel about the icy peep. I think it tastes better than a normal peep, and I'm getting a little bit of icy flavor.
Yeah, I'd say the blue one's good for a peep. I don't think you're going to be impressed by the Rice Krispie one. Don't really get a whole lot on that one.
That's the thing. Most of a Rice Krispie is marshmallow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I was expecting maybe like Rice Krispie coating or something.
I was picturing maybe like cinnamon dust, but no, nothing really.
Yeah, I don't know what's supposed to make this Rice Krispie.
It's just a peep. Which, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to like throw peeps away or whatever, but I'm not going to get excited about them.
Well, if we're ranking these, probably Rice Krispie peeps at the bottom because they don't taste like anything. I mean, they taste like a peep. They're not doing anything special.
Yeah, I'd say probably Rice Krispie peeps at the bottom, then this marshmallow puff thing.
Easter marshmallow puff.
Yeah, not a fan of it. Then probably the blue icy peeps, and then I'd say the gingerbread man was the best thing.
I think I might switch the blue icy peep and the gingerbread man, but otherwise I'm right there with you. Overall, not great.
I'm kind of underwhelmed by these Easter snacks, I gotta say.
That's the thing. I had a hard time finding stuff that, like, I wasn't sure if we had used before. And, like, I didn't see, like, any new Kit Kats this year.
There's a new Butterfinger Caramel Crunch, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'll have to be on the lookout for that. But, yeah, that was – so I was kind of disappointed with just the selection available.
That is – I'm still disappointed with this marshmallow puff. I was kind of hoping for something good.
No, I'd never seen anything like it before. I was kind of excited, and it's – a letdown.
Yeah. Sad.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, be part of our Garbage Day segment, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places. At Horror4Holidays, that's Horror the number 4 Holidays. Horror4Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Watch the video backups of the episodes. Leave us comments. Give us thumbs up, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, which is the real subscribe button. Just if you want to interact with us, YouTube comments are probably the best place to do it.
I agree.
I mean, short of sending us an email, because I know a lot of people can't be asked to send emails anymore. Well, I mean, unless you're like ChatGPT, write me an email. Write me an email praising Jay and Jeff as the greatest horror podcasters who've ever lived.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, yes. That's the kind of thing we need.
I think I found our next emailer, Jay.
leave us a review on your podcatcher choice. 5 stars. Let people know how much you enjoy it. Most importantly, tell a friend. Get someone else involved. Help build this community that we're building. Spread the word about Horror for the Holidays. 10 out of 10 stars. It's the shit.
It's the shit. Indeed. We're part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Check out the other podcasts we love.
Talk about a carrot patch.
Yeah. Like, what a carrot patch on that network.
Yeah. Leave that review on someone else's podcast in the Christmas Podcast Network. Yes.
Especially Totally Rad Christmas.
Yeah. Just leave. Jerry D won't know what you're talking about, but we might.
Yeah, he might. He might ask us at some point.
Probably not.
Why are you sending these weirdos over here talking about my carrot
patch? Yeah, none of these. What? We've got to be the weirdest podcast on the Christmas Podcast Network. I don't know why they keep us around. We're weird as fuck.
Yeah, but we're Christmas, Jane. That's what counts.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
Mike Lombardo's new movie, Dead Format, begins shooting this weekend. Saw that update for Mike. So good luck to him on that.
And Matt Dupay's new book.
Yes.
We're here for the Crites, Critters.
Yes, a more in-depth retrospective of the Critters franchise than I think ever needed to be done. Has been done.
I believe Critters 2 is an Easter movie. So,
well,
maybe next year we'll have to start an Easter tradition of having one Mr. Matt Dupay on.
We'll have to summon him back from the void.
Oh, don't worry. I think we're going to have him on later this year too for something stupid.
Well, as you know, Jay, people who are not guests currently on our podcast don't actually exist until we summon them back to the podcast.
But yeah, otherwise, thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week with a stocking stuffer, and then the week after we should be out of the Ankeny Kirken Birken Library.
Yes, farewell to the King George III Library.
And we'll be back in the recording studio for episodes from there instead. I don't know.
Yeah, the quality will be much better.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's the reason that our episodes suck, Jay, because we don't have our own recording studio.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with us. it's clearly the Ankeny Kirkendale Lurkin Mail Library. All right. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.